The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Glory to God. It's prayer clinic. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The word clinic is a very interesting one. Okay? Clinic refers to an establishment or hospital department. You don't have to write. I'm just trying to tell you something. An establishment or hospital department where outpatients are given medical treatment or advice, especially of a specialist nature. Well, that's what many people know, but that's not just the word for clinic. The clinic is also a conference or a short course on a particular subject. Do you understand? So you can have any clinic. You can have, give me an example. You can have football clinic, a short course on playing football. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, prayer clinic, which one are we going to use? Which one are we talking about? Is it the hospital own? That one. Amen. Is it hospital we are talking, or is it short course? Okay, which one is it for you? Hospital. Maybe your prayer life has trouble. Amen. God's word to bless us. You know, on Sunday, I began to show us why we pray. Because for many of us, that's where your prayer life will start from. To understand why do we even pray. And I was saying on Sunday, there are many people who do things and they don't know why they do them. And we have people who just get born again and we tell them, pray. And they don't even know what it means to pray. They don't even know how to pray. They don't even know what prayer involves or what prayer calls for. They don't even know what to do in prayer and what not to do in prayer. They don't even know why they do what they do. And this one is very bad. People, many people do things, they don't even know why they do it. I've seen people who are into soul winning. If you ask them why they are winning souls, they tell you, the ones that has the winning souls, more money will be coming to the account. Crazy reason. So there's always need for us to know why we do the things we do. And prayer is one of those things that we need to know why we do. And I think we did justice to that on Sunday. Were you blessed on Sunday? You realize prayer, like we all said, is an opportunity to communicate with God and all of that. It's you get to know the will of God. All those things we said on Sunday. Very powerful, very valid. I know it's because people don't know why they pray. They don't know what to expect in prayer. So most times they expect things in prayer that God never promised to do in prayer. I get to the point. I'll say that again. People expect things to happen through prayer that God never promised that prayer can do. Of course, we believe that prayer can do all things, but we must also know the limit. Okay? We must also know the limits and the expectations from prayer. Do you understand the point? For instance, prayer will help in your studies. Established. What prayer will not do is to come and write your exam for you. So people just pray, for instance, and will not read their books. And they fail. And they say God doesn't answer prayer. They've not been taught. Are you what I'm talking about? So there's need for us to have clarity and proper explanation. And I believe we did that on Sunday. Today I'll begin to address a few more things. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Remember this series? I'm not actually trying to get you to pray. I'm trying to show you how you pray. So whenever, any day you decide that you want to pray, you pray right. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying with all prayer. And very important. As a last month, I gave you a book to read. Do you remember the book for the month? Do you remember last month, book of the month? What was it? Did you read it? And if you read it, this teaching I'm going to do will be easier for you. If you didn't read it, it is what it is. Because in that book, a few of these questions were answered. But of course, as a good teacher, I'll bring proper clarity to them and explain them better. So pray with all prayer. All prayer. All prayer. And I'm focusing on that. All prayer. If you read Amplify Classic, Amplify did not just say all prayer. Amplify Classic said all manner of prayer. Say praying at all times, on every occasion, in every season in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. So it tells you there are different manners of prayer. There are all kinds of prayer. I get what I'm saying? There are all kinds of prayer. So there are different kinds of prayers that you can pray in different situations. Now that does not mean, okay, that it doesn't mean that that when you want to pray, you have to check the prayer I'm about to pray now is this. We're not trying to box you. But I'm just trying to say, if your prayer life is going to be effective, then it must include all manner of prayers. I want to say that again. If you're going to have an effective prayer life, then it must include all manner of prayers. Because I've seen a lot of people who all they do in their prayer, for instance, is that are asking God for things. Give me money. Give me car. Is anything wrong with asking for those things? Absolutely no. But if that's the only thing you're praying for, your prayer life does not include all manner of prayer. Are you still here? It doesn't include all manner of prayer. Simplify said you pray all manner of prayer. You know, the Passion Translation said, pray passionately in the Spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer. Every form of prayer at all times. Every form. Every kind. One Translation tradition has said, all kinds of prayer. So it tells that different kinds of prayers at different situations. And you need to learn what I'm saying. So that you don't get to any extreme. I've heard people that say things like, in prayer, you know, you saw those things. You don't ask. You command. That's not entirely true. There are times you ask in prayer. Do you know what I'm talking about? In prayer, you don't ask, you command. You command who? Command God at all times. I get the point. Others say, don't command, just ask. There are times you don't ask in prayer. There are times you actually command. There are different kinds of prayers that you must pray. And they are used at different times. I feel I'm talking about. So if your prayer life is just one extreme like that, I'll give you like 6 or 7 kinds of prayer found in God's word that you must pray. That you must pray. Number one, for instance, is supplication. Supplication. This is the one many people know. And this is where many people are. It's not bad. It's actually majority, that's the majority of things you do in prayer. So you make supplication. That Ephesians 6 and verse 18 tells us, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So when we are praying supplication prayers, what we are doing is we are asking. That's where you ask. You're asking for things. You're asking. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4 verse 6 explains supplication clearer. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So in supplication, you are making your requests known to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want this. I ask that this is sorted. Are you what I'm talking about? You are praying supplication prayer, placing requests, specific requests. So supplication, you know, is to pray. You pray for yourself. This is also where you pray for spiritual needs and pray for physical needs. When we pray for yourself for revelation, I ask and I receive for myself revelation, clarity in the word. I pray for spiritual needs now. I get to the point, and I pray and I receive for myself fervency. I receive utterance by the Spirit. End point is that you are asking, you are making your requests known to God. So it can be spiritual requests and physical requests. And if your prayer life is going to be complete, in supplication, it must carry these two. You must make spiritual demands and physical demands. Of course, you know, when we are making, please hear what I'm going to say. When we are making spiritual requests, okay, we are not asking for things, to have things. We are asking to be able to express and walk in what we have. For instance, you cannot come to prayer and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, give me righteousness. The Bible never asked us to pray like that. The Bible said you are the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. Do you understand? But you can pray to be able to walk worthy of your calling, not to all pleasing. What are you asking for? That righteousness that God has made you, that you are receiving grace and ability to walk more in it. That's supplication. Pray for a spiritual thing. Which are you following me, friends? Are you in church this evening at all? Uh-huh. So you can pray for anything. Spiritual demands. You can pray for revelation. Father, no, just I receive. My eyes open. That's supplication. That same way, don't be in this extreme of supplication. That's also praying for physical needs. But that's why I said we must pray all manner of prayers. Because think of someone at different extremes. All he's praying about are in the name of Jesus. I have revelation. Righteousness is mine. And I walk in righteousness. Nothing wrong with that. I receive might by the Spirit. Perfect prayer point. But then this guy too, he needs money. But he doesn't pray about it. Now, listen. Anything you don't attend to in the Spirit will not be done. The power and authority is in your hands. Which is why you cannot be at any extreme. So there's no need for supplication in that light. In the name of Jesus, I pray that my needs are met. Hallelujah. I pray for my business that as I go to work today, customers are coming. They patronize me. You're praying. You're praying. Or your family, things are going wrong. Can I begin to pray? Father, Jesus, we pray. In our family, we receive peace. We receive peace in the name of Jesus. The devil will not have his way in our family. I pray for the heart of my... You are praying supplication. So there must be a balance of the two. So you must be praying for spiritual needs in supplication and pray for your physical needs too. So the first kind of prayer is supplication. Where you get to pray and make your request. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said, ask and you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, you shall be opened. Supplication. Are you following me? So I'm praying for you. Now supplication, like I said, is a very big word because by the time we touch the next kind of prayer, which is intercession, you also find out that you can also make supplication in intercession. Just at that time, you're making a supplication for other people. It's just to ask. I know what I'm talking about. It's just to ask. So you can make supplication for yourself. But when we begin to touch intercession, you find that even when you're interceding for people, it's not every time you're interceding for people that you command. There are times you really, really make supplication for people and pray for them. Do you hear what I'm saying? You're asking in the name of Jesus, let this person's needs be met. That time you're not commanding, you're not saying devil, get them, you're praying. So there is supplication. The second kind of prayer is intercession. As I've already mentioned. What does it mean to intercede? It simply means to stand in the gap for someone. Now, that's why we call Jesus our intercessor. Not because he's praying for us. Please hear what I'm going to say. We call him our intercessor, not because he's praying. Jesus is not praying for any believer. If he's praying for us, then we don't need to have a prayer life. So why do we call him our intercessor? Because on the cross, and when he got to the Father's right hand, he's the mediator between God and man. He died in our place. He took our place. So he's interceding. To intercede is not prayer. I get what I'm saying. To be the middleman. Now that which Jesus did for us in the cross, on the cross, and all of that, we do for people in prayer. So we stand in the gap and we are praying for them. Can this mic be better? I'm stretching my voice for real. We stand in the gap and we are praying for them. We are praying for their health. We are praying for their business. We are just praying for them. A perfect example of intercession in the Bible is Genesis 18. You see the story of Abraham, how Abraham stood in the gap and interceded for Lot and for Sodom. Genesis 18 verse 16. Because of course Sodom was about to be destroyed and Abraham stood in the way and began to intercede for Sodom. If you find five people, will you destroy Sodom? Will you destroy the sinners with the righteous? He stood in the gap. And that's what you do in intercession. You stand in the gap and you pray for people. Your intercession must cover these people. Number one, your intercession must cover sinners. If you are making intercession, I'm trying to tell you how to have a wholesome prayer life. A wholesome prayer life. So that you cannot come to pray all the time. And all you are doing is that you are asking for a car. That's a weak prayer life. So that's why you find out that the quality of a prayer life is not just in the length. It's also in the content. Are you following what I'm talking about here now? The quality. So if I say I'm praying for 8 hours, and for the 8 hours all I'm doing is fall, die, fall, die, fall, die. That's not the quality prayer life. That's a weak prayer life. Whether you think something is wrong with praying, fall, and die or not, even if nothing is wrong with praying, fall, and die, if that's all you do in your prayer life is weak. Because we must pray all manner of prayers. Are you following me, friends? So when we say we're in intercession, there's first of all, you intercede for sinners. Romans 10 and verse 1. Paul tells us, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. My heart's desire and prayer for Israel. So he tells you, Paul was interceding for Israel as a nation, that they will be saved. This is where you begin to pray, that the hearts of men are aligned to the message. You can also pray that opportunities will arise. Jesus told us to pray the Lord of the harvest, to send forth laborers into the field. That's also interceding for sinners. So I can be praying for someone to be saved, and maybe I can't reach the person. I can take my prayer to the point of saying, Father, that place where he is in Gombe State, in the name of Jesus, we pray and we receive that he's saved, that you send men that will locate him, that you come in contact with materials that will locate him. And before you know what is happening, the guy comes back and says, I'm saved. So how did it happen? You don't even know. I just met one young girl that I wanted to chike. And I was chiking her. She was preaching to me. I feel what I'm talking about. And that will be prayer that worked. You can also pray that their heart will respond. You've been praying to someone. The person is saying, I don't want to hear the message. I don't want to hear what else. You get to prayer. So Corinthians 4 verse 4 tells us that the gods of this age had blinded their hearts. So you are praying that blindness be lifted. Quality prayer life must include intercession for sinners. That's why every time on your prayer list, you must have people you are praying for. Sinners. Sinners. Every time on your prayer. Every time. At least one or two people are trusting God that they will be saved. A perfect example of this in history is the man we talk about, Father Daniel Nash, who had a quality prayer life. Every time Charles Finney was going to minister in a meeting, Father Daniel Nash will go ahead of him to the meeting and get there and begin to pray over that community. What he usually will do is to gather the names. He will just get there and request for the names of as many sinners as possible are in that community. And he will hold them and begin to pray with them. Praying that, declaring that they must be saved. And history will have it that by the time he died, they went through that his book of prayer. They found no single name who was not saved. No single name. All were saved. That's interceding for sinners. If this is not in your prayer lifestyle, if you like, be praying 6 hours every day, your prayer life is weak. It's not just in the length. Why there's nothing wrong with length? It's also in the quality. And can I say, if you begin to pray all manner of prayers, you'll be praying long. You don't force to pray long. Do you understand? If you have 3 sinners you are praying for your list, even if you want to take them five minutes, the first one is Chinwike, and then we'll just go 5 minutes. The next one is Isaiah. The next one is Musa. Before you know, you are done 15 minutes. You now say, supplication for my own needs. Some of your own needs used to take 10 minutes. You know, time is counting already. So you find out that the idea of saying people should pray long and are struggling, is because they've not found out what should be found in their prayers. If you find what should be contained in your prayers, you will not be saying, I don't know what to pray. Now you go there, run. Because there is so much to pray about. I get what I'm saying? So there must be intercession for sinners. Another thing that must be contained in your intercession is there must be intercession for saints, fellow saints. For saints. What can you do for saints? Major thing you do for saints, like I said earlier, is supplication. It should also include praying for their spiritual needs, for instance. For instance, in Ephesians 1 and verse 16, Paul was writing to the Ephesian church and was telling them, he said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. Verse 17, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. So Paul was interceding for this church. But what was he praying for here? Their spiritual needs. So part of what you do for saints, so see what I'm showing you. First, for every time, you must make a supplication. Two, you must have sinners you are praying for. Three, you must have saints you are praying for. And you don't only pray for their physical needs, you pray for their spiritual needs too. We are seeing Ephesians 1. What was he praying for here? He was praying for them to have revelation. By the time you get to Ephesians 3 and verse 14, he talks about another prayer he prayed for them. Put that one up. I like that one. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Continue. Of whom the whole family heaven and earth is named. Verse 16. That he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit, your innermost. So he was praying that they will have spiritual might. That's a spiritual need. There should be a believer you are praying for him to have spiritual might at every time. There is a sister in church who has become a bit unserious. You get to prayer and say the name of Jesus. This one will stay. This one will be strong. You find a sister who is not living as she's supposed to live. You begin to pray Colossians 1 verse 9. That you will walk worthy of the Lord. Unto all pleasing. You find someone, you've been teaching the word of God. He doesn't understand what they're saying. You begin to pray Ephesians 1 verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ will open your eyes. That you have spiritual revelation. What are you doing? You are interceding for saints. You are praying for their spiritual needs. Are you following me? But not only that prayer, there's also a place for praying for a saint's physical need. And sometimes God doesn't have to show, you just have to observe. You look at this particular brother, for instance. And you notice, you know he graduated, he went to service 3 years ago. But he doesn't really have anything he's doing. How his life is going. That's not a topic for gossip. That's a prayer point staring you in the face. I dare say, you noticed it because God wanted you to pray about it. You now take to prayer. In the name of Jesus, this brother, I pray your finances will change. That's prayer. Amen. For instance, read about Epaphras, an example of intercession. Say, Epaphras, who is one of you? Do you know that story? That's what scripture is that? Huh? Is it Colossians 4 verse 12? Okay, let's see. Colossians, yeah. Epaphras is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted to you always, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. This one, physical or spiritual need? Physical or spiritual need? Spiritual need. That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Epaphras is an example. So we should be able to say concerning you, say, oh, blessing, this is one of you. Laboring fervently for you, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Be an Epaphras. Amen. Then you find people's physical needs. You observe their family. Oh, that girl is up to her whatever years, and she's not married. It's not to be gossiping. Say, why was she married? Look at how she used to dress. See how she used to talk. What of prayer? Because all those ones you are talking, your mind did not tell you that there are worse behaved people than that girl who have married 3 times. I mean, they married first, divorced, married again, divorced,
married again, and they're even going to divorce and they're going to marry again. So that's not the time to begin to analyze and say, why should nobody? You go to prayer. If we have a church where everybody is praying for everybody, there will be no need. Example of this, Acts 12, verse 5. Peter was arrested. Prayer was made without ceasing by the church for him. That's intercession. Now, they were not praying that he will have spiritual revelation. They were praying that he will be delivered from prison. As you see what your prayer life should contain, we're talking about all manner of prayers, there must be intercession. We are praying for sinners to be saved. Praying for saints for their spiritual needs. Praying for saints for their material, their physical needs. Must be found in your prayer life. Under this praying for saints too, there must be praying for ministers. I shouldn't have separated that because ministers are saints, but it's good to separate it. And so what do we pray for a minister? The same thing. His spiritual needs, his physical needs. Shout amen. I say shout amen. Amen. I didn't say amen, I say shout. Shout amen.
Amen.
Spiritual needs, physical needs. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1. I think, yeah, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1. Finally, brethren, this Paul talking, pray for us. Who is the us was talking about there? Them as the apostles. He said that the word of God may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from. So you see two things. Word of God may have free course, spiritual need, right? So as we go to preach, let our ministry prosper. Then second part is that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. So he asks for, pray for us over our spiritual, our ministry and all of that. Well, some people, that's the only thing they do for their pastor. Which is also good. Let me even say this to you. Every time you see your pastor, if I say, oh, some of you wonder, sometimes when I travel, sometimes when I travel, I let you guys know that I'm traveling. I'm preaching somewhere tomorrow. I'm preaching somewhere next week. Why do you think all those things happen? It's a prayer point I'm giving you. I get what I'm saying. I learned it from the epistles. Paul will always tell them his next move. But to the end that they will pray. Pray that the word of God, you're praying in the name of Jesus, as pastor goes forth, he will have utterance. He will speak by the Spirit. Let miracles accompany his ministry. Let blind eyes open. Let signs and wonders be wrought. You're praying. His ministry will prosper. Then after that, second part of the prayer, that he may be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. Let it not be heard that your pastor hits the road and then there was an accident. Don't lose your pastor too quickly because you didn't pray. Because you didn't pray. I get what I'm saying? Let it not be heard that will happen. You take to prayer. Paul told them, all men have not the faith. So pray for us that we may be delivered. You also pray for their ministry. Pray for their family. Pray for your pastor's wife. Because if anything happens to your pastor's wife, it has happened to your pastor. And he'll be destabilized to bless you, bless you in the ministry. So you see why prayer is so important. So there was an intercession in Romans 15 verse 30. Romans 15 and verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the love Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together. So I like the word together there. You strive together with me in prayers. When it says together, it means I'm not saying I'm not praying. I am praying, but I'm asking you to pray too. So I'm not asking you to intercede for your pastor because he's a prayerless person. He is praying, but then you too must pray for him. I will not try to ask you to intercede for saints because they're prayerless. Well, that's one problem we always have. Once we say, pick a saint to intercede for, you look for the weak saints around, which is not bad. But what of the strong Christians? So nobody should pray for them. I get the point. Glory to God. Why are you praying for now? Do you have any saints you're praying for now? Tell me the person. Huh? No, tell me. Okay, for our health. Okay. Glory to God. I may ask you. You cannot lie. Somebody will say, thank God I'm at the back. Glory to God. Now, somebody you're praying for. All this pray for. Don't just pick the weak Christians. What of the strong Christians? Who have financial needs? So he said, pray. Now, after he said, pray together with us, verse 31, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. Physical need, right? And that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Spiritual needs. So let my ministry prosper. Let me dwell in safety. Are you following what I'm saying, friends? So your prayer life must contain praying for the saints. Part of the saints, for instance, must pray for your pastors, pray for your ministers. There's also a place you pray for leaders, government leaders. It's still part of intercession. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2 from verse 1. Pray for leaders in authority. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Verse 2. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in sight of God our Savior. Verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So you also pray. I tell you, one of the prayers you can begin to pray for leaders of this country, if you don't know what to pray for them. For instance, pray that they be saved. That's what Paul is saying here. He wants all men to be saved. Have you ever prayed for a president to be saved? Have you ever prayed for your governor to be saved? Because when leaders get saved, a lot of job is done. And let me even say this to you. Whenever we mention politicians, you think they're going to be destroyed and going to go to hell. Maybe not. I know a few politicians that are born again. I know an ex-president of this country who got born again. Brad Bonkip got him born again personally and shared the story in his message. And he was the person that opened the door for Bonkip to enter Nigeria to do all his crusades. That man. Do you know who I'm talking about? Brad talked about him. He single-handed, because Bonkip came to Nigeria in 1980-something, a long time ago, and something happened and he was pursued out of Nigeria. They almost killed him. There was riots in the north and he left through a truck. They whisked him out of Nigeria. They were shot out of Nigeria for years until that man. And before then, he had already met the man that spoken once. Do you understand the point? So he said he was sitting one day in his house and he saw that the man was contesting for to be president of Nigeria. And he began to pray. I said, he must win. He said, let him win and Bonkey will come in. And the man won. So he called him on the phone. He said, I heard you. He said, congratulations, Your Excellency. He said, yes. He said, Israel Bonkey said, when am I coming? That's how Bonkey entered Nigeria and all those crusades you see happen. So all these, I think all of them are going to hell. Don't worry, you go to hell, you'll be shocked. Pray that leaders be saved. Now, you see what I'm saying now. One president, whether you think his salvation was genuine or not, is your business. But one president that responded to the gospel opened the door for all the crusades Israel Bonkey did in Nigeria. One president. One. All those crusades, the biggest crusade in the history of Fred Bonke's ministry, even till now, was done in Lagos. 3.4 million salvation recorded. 3.4. That's massive. Even Peter did not do it in one crusade. And even Paul, nobody. 3.4 million in the space of 5 days of the crusade. The last night of the crusade, they recorded. When I mean 3.5, I mean throughout the crusade. Last night of the crusade, 1.6 million salvation in one night. And it's not, I'm not speculating. People that got a field decision card, they counted 1.6 million. That's what I'm talking about. Now, you think that kind of impact just comes? There was a president in power who made it possible for that kind of crusade to hold. I'm trying to show you something. You pray for it as an authority. Hate them all you can, but if they get saved, the country will be better. I guess what I'm talking about. So, intercession must be found in your prayers. You can also pray that they are wise, that God gives them wisdom. Because there are a lot of foolish things leaders do, and you need to pray for them. So, there must be intercession for saints, for leaders, for sinners. Are you learning something? The third kind of prayer, so I've mentioned two now. Number one, supplication. Number two, but supplication, everything is there. Intercession, everything is there. The third kind of prayer you must pray is prayer of consecration and dedication. Now, in this prayer, you are consecrating and dedicating yourself to the Lord. You are not asking for anything. All these prayers that come with songs like, I give myself away. You know those kind of things. You are trying to dedicate. For instance, Jesus prayed that kind of prayer in Luke 22 and verse 42, where he said, let this cup pass over me if you will. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That's a prayer of consecration and dedicating his life to the ministry and to whatever God wants him to do. Now, you must have times where you come to prayer and you dedicate yourself to ministry. Say to Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to serve you. I'm available to work with you. That's not a prayer of request. That's not supplication. That's not intercession. Are you following what I'm talking about? Sometimes we can finish meetings like this, and I preach on maybe working for God. You guys are on the altar praying. What is that prayer you're praying there? You're dedicating your life. You're consecrating yourself to the ministry. Amen. So you can dedicate. If I take this dedication teaching a step further, you also find out you can pray that prayer of consecration even on things. You get the point? I can get, like, for instance, every equipment we have in this church is consecrated unto the Lord. That's why there are things we can't use them for. Do you know what I'm saying? But that's study for another day. But then you spend time dedicating your life, your ministry. In Exodus 32 and verse 29, you know, Exodus 32 and verse 29, so Moses said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord. Even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow a blessing upon you today. Consecrate yourself. In other words, dedicate yourself. That is even for that kind of prayer once in a while. Where you sell yourself out to Jesus and say, no, Father, whatever you want me to do. Sometimes that kind of prayer is necessary when God has spoken to you about what he wants to do with you. You can spend like an hour or so praying and saying, Father, I'm willing. I want to walk with you. If you're looking for a man, I'm available. That's what they found in your prayer life. So you find out that prayer, I'm going back to where I started, it's not only about one extreme or the other. Now, if this is the little you do in your prayer life, you have an incomplete prayer life. But if this is not found in your prayer life, then something is missing. So when Jesus was at Gethsemane, how long did he pray? At least 3 hours. First 1 hour, second 1 hour, third 1 hour. At least. Right? Now, the Bible tells us the summary of all his prayer was, not my will, but yours be done. For 3 hours. That's consecration taking place. Is somebody listening to me this evening? He wasn't there saying, Father, let me have strength to endure the cross. As I get to the cross, let me not die. Mm-mm. Father, I want to do this. Not my will, but your will. So somebody will ask, is that one prayer? It's part of prayer. Jesus did it for 3 hours. It's part of prayer. Are you following me? I yield myself to you. I give myself to you for this ministry. Especially every time you are giving a ministry responsibility. Have that moment where you are praying and saying to the Lord, I'm here to serve you. I want to walk with you. Not my will, but your will be done. Help me, Lord Jesus. I want to dedicate my life to you. That is prayer of dedication. Prayer of consecration. And every Christian must pray that prayer. Every Christian. Every Christian. Every Christian. Hallelujah. Related to that, for instance, there is prayer of worship. Prayer of worship. Prayer of worship. Where you are spending time and you are just worshiping God. You are just loving on God. Father, we thank you because you are beautiful. We thank you because you are God. That can take 30 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours. You see, this kind of prayer, I love it because it makes for one of the richest communions you can ever have with God. You come, you're not asking for things. You're not asking for revelation. Nothing. Just loving on God. Luke 24, go to verse 53. Let me show you. Luke 24 and verse 53. And we are continually in the temple praising. And go to verse 52. Let's see the flow. And they worshipped him. That was when he rose from the dead. They worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Verse 53. And they were continuing in the temple, praising and blessing God. So all those times these guys spent in the temple, they were not there asking God for whatever. They were just praising and blessing him. Heavenly Father, you are wonderful. You are good. That's the kind of prayer we call ministering to the Lord. We are just spending time. Acts 13 verse 1. Certain prophets and teachers gave us their names. They were at Antioch. Verse 2. Verse 2. And they, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. So these guys were fasting. And all they were praying for during their fasting was that they were ministering to the Lord. They were not asking for anything. Just a time. You know, you can have such consecrated moments, those fasts. You just get in your room, just blessing God. Put up like NLT. King James said, they ministered to the Lord. NLT said, these men, we are worshiping the Lord and fasting. No prayer point. Father will thank you. Just loving on God is one kind of prayer that must feature on your prayer list. It's beyond the regular thanksgiving that you've been confined to do whenever you want to start praying. You know that's how you want. How do you pray? First of all, you thank God. Father, thank you. You are omnipotent. Thank you for waking us up this morning in Jesus' name. Second prayer point, confess your sins. Is that what they taught you? Father, any sin we've committed, sin of omission, sin of commission, forgive us in Jesus' name. You know, I asked one of our leaders one day, you know, those days. I said, why do we do this? Why do we confess our sins for one prayer? He said, because the Bible tells us that the prayer of a sinner is an abomination unto God. That if you don't confess your sins, God will not hear you. Now I asked him, why do we start with that thanksgiving? That first, did God hear that first thanksgiving that we did? Do you get it? I said, if you start with confession, because if you go by this, you are saying that first thing we said was nonsense. He said, well, let's just thank God. Glory to God. And I wasn't being sarcastic in my question. I was actually, you know, what led me to discover the gospel was that I had a very inquisitive mind. You get the point? And a very analytical mind. I think things through over. I'm not someone you can just say things to. Even till now, I know the gospel. Even God knows what is passing through with me. If I ask God, that thing is, Do you have that problem? Anybody? I have a very, very, very inquisitive mind. And I found out about God, he will not throw you away. He has answers to your questions. That's why a church must be able to answer questions. A pastor must be able to answer because people have questions. Do you understand the point? I had my questions. Why do we thank God before we confess our sins? Whereas we are told we won't even hear the prayer of a sinner. So did he hear our thanksgiving? So why don't we just come to prayer and the first thing we do is to confess our sins? I get the point. Then after that, you now thank God. Then why do we finish the prayer and end it with any sin that will try to stop this prayer? Is it that we did not agree that confession of sin we did worked? Why are we praying again for any sin? Are you thinking? Because that's actually, I had many questions growing up. I know many pastors don't like people like me. I had many questions. Many questions. And some of them, if I share them with you, you're wondering, how does this guy reason? How does this guy reason? I asked one of our people in church then, say, is it okay for a man to wear a cap in church? And he said, no. I said, I said, why are the leaders wearing cap? He just laughed. You know that kind of laughter, that kind of you won't understand laugh. And I stayed there, wanted to understand. I said, but why are they wearing cap? Is it that? Now I was very sincere. Is it that there is a level you get to in your walk with God? You can now wear cap and pray. Or is it that actually there's nothing wrong with wearing cap? Just that the church doesn't want us to wear cap in church. Do you understand? He just laughed. I said, don't worry. Come and see me later. That meeting never held. That meeting never held. So we must be able to ask questions. Okay, I don't know what led me to that. But we should be able to ask questions. And don't be afraid. Of course, don't ask mischievous questions. Make sure you are sincere. Because once I notice you are trying to ask me a question to prove to me that I'm a fool, I'm not going to answer you. You get the point? But ask sincere questions. What led me to that? Huh? Okay, I was talking about worship. So I'm saying it's not that kind of thanksgiving, not just that thanksgiving you do when you want to start your prayer. I mean, consecrated time where you're just worshiping the Lord, ministering to Him, loving on the Lord. This is very powerful, because I would say they were even ministering to, and they were fasting. So they made out time to fast. And if you had met them, say, what's your prayer for? Why are you fasting? We just want to minister to the Lord and worship Him. And you see what came out of that time of prayer? The Lord said, separate unto me, Barnabas and Saul. They didn't come to that prayer room to check or to ask the Lord whether Barnabas and Saul should be separated. Come on, are you what I'm talking about? They just came to pray. So a quality prayer life must have the time where he does prayer of worship. Just ministering to the Lord. Loving on Him. I've given you how many now? Four. Right? Then there must be prayer of faith. Prayer of faith. This is where we speak to situations. This is where we declare word. This is where many new creation people start and end their prayer. Which is actually wrong. Because prayer must have everything. Let us pray for a sister to be saved. And then we join our hands together. And the next thing you tell me is, oh, we declare, she's saved. Oh God, pray. You are not ready yet. Because we declare, in the name of Jesus, we receive her saved. It's done. It's done. Mm-mm. It doesn't done like that. You get the point? It doesn't always done like that. But is that prayer of faith? Yes. But I always say, most times, from my own experience, prayer of faith is always better when it is preceded by supplication. So, you've spent time in prayer over a matter, and then you receive a word from God. Next time you now come to prayer, you cannot begin to release that word you received. Are you what I'm talking about? So when we're talking about persistence in prayer, what you are not saying is, every time you come to prayer, they ask you a particular thing. I can come and say, in the name of Jesus, my bills are paid. In the name of Jesus, I pray that I'm owing that. And I'm praying, and the Lord gives me a word and say the bills are sorted. Now, should I stop praying for those needs? No. Should I come every day to ask for those things to be met? No. So what do I resort to? Prayer of faith now. Is it getting very clear to everybody? So you now come to Mark 11:23. Put up Mark 11:23. Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those who say that shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. That's prayer of faith. You foul devil. Now, it's not every time prayer of faith is preceded by supplication. Sometimes you can just see a growth to your body and switch to prayer of faith. Hey, get out of my body. Take hands off my finance. Yeah, you can pray that. But not every time just as in faith, I declare. No, that's not. Sometimes you really, really pray. Now, this is not to box you, like I said earlier. It's not to put you in a box. You say, which prayer am I going to pray now? When a need comes, I'll show you a general rule later as we're rounding up. When a need comes, just begin to pray. Begin to pray. The exact thing to do will come. There are some prayer times God will have you stay in prayer, making supplication over a matter for a long time. There are times you just have to declare. Go to verse 24. Verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So the prayer he's talking about here is prayer of faith. You know, James chapter 5 and verse 14 tells us about prayer of faith. Gives that's where that phrase came from. He said, if is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15, he says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So that's what we do. We will meet a sick body. Prayer of faith. When you come to me and say, daddy, this, that, prayer of faith. But do you guys also observe, there are times you come to me, and I don't pray that prayer of faith. I just say, you need to go and pray. I'll give you a regimen. Go and pray. Because it's not everything that we demand, we declare, we command. Do you understand? Sometimes you have to go to supplication and pray over matters. Most times when I do that supplication thing, is because, I can be very sincere with you now, I've not really gotten a clear word from God over the matter. Remember I told you, faith begins where the will of God is known. So if I've not really gotten a particular word from God, I don't just switch to saying, done. Do you understand? So I'll just say, let us pray over this matter. Do you understand? Then we can begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, pray. Then eventually, a rhema word or whatever you call it is going to drop. We run with it. I'll begin to declare. This is how it will be. So that it's prayer of faith. It always begins when the will of God is known. You stay there. You are declaring it. My studies have changed. I know exactly what to do now. I see the light. You're just going like that. Amen. Glory to God. So, there is need for all this in your prayer life. So, number 5 is prayer of faith. Now, number 6 is prayer of agreement. Yeah. That is agreement prayer. When we talk about agreement prayer, this type of prayer is not prayer that you pray alone. There are times in your prayer life that you need an extra person to join you. The major key to agreement prayer is that both of you must agree on the same thing and must be asking and demanding the same thing. So, Matthew 18, right? Matthew 18, verse 18. Matthew 18 and verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done to them of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So there is need. Now, this is where I'm going to emphasize why you must have good friends that you can agree with in prayer. This is where you emphasize why you must marry right, that both of you can agree in prayer. I am of the opinion that there are certain things about the home that agreement prayer must go on. That is not just one person's prayer should handle. You and your husband have to come together. You and your wife come together. Hold your hands together. For instance, the destiny of your children. And that's why in that kind of prayer there must be agreement. Do you understand the point? Uh-huh. I can't be believing God for this, and my wife is believing God for that, and we say we are praying agreement prayer. It doesn't work. Are you what I'm talking about? Uh-huh. We must know what we are believing God for. I can't be believing God for us to rent a good house, a good duplex, Lord, and my wife is believing God for us to buy land and build house. And we say we are praying together. So, do you get the point? Agreement prayer. Both of you are agreeing on a matter. So, what is God going to do? So, that's why there is need for that. That's why there are sometimes, if we come, I do this with my ministers. We are trusting God for something as a church. I always let them know, look at what we are praying for. Look at what we are expecting. So that all of us can pray together. So, that's why you must have friends you pray with. That you can agree with over a matter. You can agree with. Amen. And when you have friends that you want to pray for, or pray with rather, make sure you're actually going to pray with them and allow them pray and let them tell you what they think. Now there are people that meet people and say, I want you to pray with me and let's know what God is going to say over this matter. But they already have what they think over the matter. So whatever you say doesn't change nothing. Don't waste your time. But I'm talking about proper agreement. When we come together, we're praying. So it's not every time, but there are times that need for agreement. For instance, if you have things in your life that you've combated with and for long is actually proving difficult, get a brother on that prayer to pray with you. Now, I'm not talking about just getting your pastor. It can happen. For your pastor to declare what you want. I'm talking about get a brother. Get a sister. Prayer partners. And I wish for you, and I pray for you, I wish you can turn all your friends to prayer partners. I wish your friends can be really prayer partners. So that you don't have friends and then have prayer partners. Can't your friends be your prayer partners? A friend that cannot pray with you, what are they doing in your life? Very useless friends that you have. If a friend cannot pray with you, why do you need that friend? What are you guys discussing? Because once friendship is there, one thing is we must be vulnerable to each other, right? We must tell each other what bothers us. So if I tell you what is bothering me and you cannot pray about it, why did I tell you? What was the point? So there must be that agreement prayer. Let's agree over this matter. Sometimes that agreement prayer itself can be called by your friend about your life. You know, you can be looking at your friend and notice a particular pattern in his life. Then one day you meet him and said, "Brother, I've noticed since you finished school, you've not gotten a job for like 3 years. Let's agree with God over this matter. Let's agree on this matter. Let's give 2 days to prayer." That's agreement. So you now ask him, "What do you want?" He said, "I want this." Fine, let's begin to pray in agreement. It works. Say, so wait, whenever two or three of you agree on a matter, say it is done. See, so a solid prayer life too must have prayer partners. Are you what I'm talking about? Must have people you pray with. Acts chapter 4 tells us that they threatened them to stop preaching and they returned back to their own company and they prayed. They prayed. So you must learn to return back to your own company. And of course, number 7, related to that prayer of agreement is corporate prayers. That one is not just agreement prayer. That's this kind of prayers to pray in church. So start today's prayer drive. Let's come and pray. Now, if your prayer life does not have any of these prayers I talked about, then something will be missing. Imagine you're a Christian and you don't make supplications. Imagine you're a Christian and you don't make intercessions. All you pray about is, "Father, it's me. Imagine you're a Christian and you don't have time for corporate prayers. Let me even tell you, if you don't have time for corporate prayers, your prayer life is going to be weak. Because whether you know it or not, there are times in your life where you are too weak to pray. True or true? There are times where you are too weak to pray. Sometimes when you are too weak to pray, it is corporate prayers that will fire you up and add some fire to your own prayer life. That's why a church and a pastor must organize prayer times for the church as often as possible. Corporate prayer times. Because that prayer time will fuel the people's individual prayer life. Are you what I'm talking about? And so if I'm having a prayer time in church and you don't attend, or say, "For all I know is that me, I have a prayer life, I pray in my room all the time." The Bible doesn't teach that though. This Acts chapter 4 was a case of corporate prayer. They came together, they prayed. When they prayed, the Bible said the place where they were was shaking. That wasn't one person praying. That was a group. Read from the Old Testament to New Testament, there's always a group coming together to pray. When Jesus finished teaching them in Acts chapter 1 and ascended back to heaven, they stayed in that upper room and they were praying there for 10 days. Corporately. So, someone that thinks, "I don't need any group, whatever. I don't need a church. All I need is that my prayer life is active. I used to pray alone in my house." You might actually be wrong. You might actually be deceiving yourself. But then someone who all he does is praying when we gather to pray still has a bad prayer life. So you see what I said at the beginning. A solid prayer life is not just in the length spent in praying. It's also in the content of that prayer. So you must pray all manner of prayers. All manner of prayers. And that's why you must have to go and pay attention again to your prayer life. Do I have a saint I'm praying for? Do I have a sin I'm interceding for? Am I praying for my needs when there are needs? Because there are some people there was a time in this church, I've heard many people out from, many of you are from it. I found that many of you were, some people were even feeling guilty for praying for their needs. Did this ever happen to you? Anybody? Yeah. When you pray for your needs, you feel, "Am I not being too selfish and materialistic?" No. I get the point. So what happened there? Many people left their needs unattended to. And then the devil was running rampage. You get the point? And then, "But I'm praying." But you're not addressing the matter. Amen. But imagine if that's what you do in your prayer time. You're also a very selfish person. So there must be that. That's why I go back to our prayer chain, our prayer watch. You see, every day, check that our prayer watch. Everything I told you here is covered on that prayer watch. Everything.
There is a day intercession. There is a day we are praying for your physical needs. There is a day your spiritual needs. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's another day we are praying for sinners to be saved. It's that way. That's how your prayer life should be. So there are days that you are praying for this, praying for that. Hallelujah. Equality prayer life. All manner of prayers. Are you getting blessed? I said, are you getting blessed? Now go back to Ephesians 6, verse 18. Let's look at this. All manner of prayers. Praying always with all supplication. I showed you already in Amplified Classic. It's the praying all with all manner of prayers. Praying at all times with every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayers. Go back to King James. Remember I told you that also in supplication, in intercession, you also make supplications. So you say, pray with all manner of prayers, prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, key thing I want to show you here is, when you're praying all manner of prayers, the best way to pray any kind of prayer is in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The only prayer that you may not have to pray entirely in the Spirit, for instance, is if you are doing prayer of faith. You are declaring. You are giving instruction. But whatever that prayer I gave you, the best way to pray them is in the Spirit. While you can add English and add Igbo and add Hebrew that you want to add. But you see, all manner of prayer should be prayed in the Spirit. In fact, even that prayer of faith, as you are declaring, you should interface it with tongues. So if you spend time praying all these prayers as you should, and how should you? In the Spirit. And you see why this is beautiful. Because you are praying in the Spirit, you can never be wrong praying in the Spirit. Have you observed that? So because you can be wrong, you shouldn't bother yourself of whether, am I praying this one right? Am I praying the right prayer I should pray? The Spirit knows what you should pray at every time. I follow what I'm saying. So somebody's going to ask me, if I'm praying every prayer in tongues and in the Spirit, how then do I show that I'm praying for Pastor Izu? Whereas I'm not mentioning his name, I'm just praying in tongues. I think I've taught you that. Prayer is from the heart, then your voice. So what do? Your focus and your attention should be on Pastor Izu as you're now praying in tongues. As you're praying in tongues, God will be laying thoughts in your heart towards him. Do you understand? Are you what I'm saying? Have you ever been praying in tongues and then suddenly you just know that you've switched your prayer point? Now you didn't say, I've switched, but you know you switched. But you're still praying in tongues. That's why tongues will meet every prayer need. Tongues. So you're praying in the Spirit. Then sometimes you're also speaking English. As you pray in English, in the Spirit, when God gives you words to speak, speak them in English, but all prayers must be prayed in the Spirit. You want to have a quality prayer life. Quality prayer life. Quality prayer life. It must contain everything. Every kind of prayer. It shouldn't just be about, Lord, give me. But it should not also not have, Lord, give me. It shouldn't be all about intercession. But it must also contain intercession. It mustn't be all about, I'm declaring, I'm speaking words, it's done, it's done. But it must also contain that. So a quality prayer life must contain all of these kinds and manner of prayers. Shout amen, somebody. I say, shout a big amen. Amen. Somebody asked me recently, and I'm going to answer that question, and we'll close. What of prayer posture? I've never had time to discuss prayer posture. Because at first, I felt, what's the point? Talking about how people stay to pray. Whether they are jumping up or they are not jumping up. Does it matter? Well, but these days is beginning to matter. Because people are taking some crazy prayer postures these days that I don't know whether they think that once you stay like that and you are praying like that, it means you are now very spiritual. Don't be carried away by trends. Do you know what I say? Don't be carried away by trends. Because I actually know the sect where all this crazy prayer posture came out from. Now, my teaching on prayer posture is summarized in this statement I want to make. Use any posture that engages you
that is convenient for you and depicts the state of your heart in that prayer. I said that again. Any prayer posture that engages you. By engaging, I mean, you can't use a prayer posture, for instance, that you're trying to pray for 4 hours and you're lying down under your blanket, covering yourself, saying, this prayer posture is convenient for me. You're just going to sleep. So that prayer posture does not engage you. That's why sometimes when you pray, it will ask you to stand up. And that's not because anything is standing up. It's because that prayer posture engages you. So any prayer posture that engages you, that is convenient for you, don't do something that's not convenient. The Bible tells us that Elijah prayed and put his head in between his two legs. Now, I don't know how he was able to do that. But see, if that is not convenient for you, don't go and kill yourself. Elijah possibly would have been a very slim person and a very flexible guy to be able to get his head in between his knees. Now, you want to try that? If it's convenient for you, it's okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? But if it's not necessary. Of course, and again I said, a prayer posture that depicts the state of your heart in that prayer. Most times when I pray, for instance, prayers of dedication and consecration, I love to kneel. Sometimes you lie. There are a lot of prayer postures in the Bible. I'll just run through them for you. For instance, there is bowing. You can bow in prayer. In Exodus 34 and verse 8. Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. So you can bow your head in prayer. Thus, you can also call what Elijah did in 1 Kings 18:42 as bowing. He bowed his head, but this time he put that head in between his legs. But that's also to bow in prayer. So if you attend most of our Orthodox churches, they will always tell you to bow your head in prayers. And there's nothing wrong with that. You can bow in prayers. Amen. Because bowing is a sign. It looks like you are making obeisance. It's like respect. You're bowing in prayer. There is also kneeling in prayer. You can kneel down to pray. Ephesians 3 and verse 14 tells us that very clearly. It said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you can kneel to pray. You can kneel in prayer. But remember, I said again, it must engage you. If you're praying a very short prayer, kneeling may work. If you can kneel to pray for 2 hours, it's okay. Nothing wrong with that. If you definitely sleep off, if you kneel down to pray, then you do not kneel. You get up. It must engage you. It must be convenient for you. By convenient, I'm not talking about convenience as though you are too comfortable. Because sometimes when it becomes too comfortable, you will sleep. Do you understand? Don't say, pastor said convenient for us. Convenient for me now is under this duvet. It's very convenient. It's now too convenient for your prayer life. Do you know what I'm talking about? So when I mean covenant, I mean something that will not break your back or break your head. Do you know what I'm saying? That's what I mean by convenient. And then I say that depicts your heart. So there's a place for kneeling in prayer. There is also lying down. Lying down in prayer. Prostrating. Prostrating in prayer. In Nehemiah 8 and verse 6. Nehemiah 8 and verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen. With lifting up their hands, I'm coming to this. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces on the ground. So you prostrate in prayer. So you see, these guys they practiced a lot of things. They lifted their hands, which I'm coming to. They bowed their heads. They went face down. In Matthew 26 and verse 39, we see Jesus too. Prostrate in prayer. Matthew 26 and verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. That's a prayer of consecration. So you bow like that in consecration. Are you feeling what I'm talking about, friends? That's why I said it's good to use prayer postures that depicts the state of your heart. Now, I'm not saying anything is wrong with that, but it's strange to me. This me now, maybe I'm a bit religious, but it's strange to me to put my hand in my pocket to my two hands and I'm saying, Father, I give myself to you. It's strange to me. Do you understand? I'm not saying God is angry, but I believe that prayer should engage your entire being. songs. Do you understand? That's why I normally tell some of you, we are singing. And we are singing, I bow my knees. You are leading song here. You say you bow your knees and you're standing up. So you are lying. I stand on my feet. That's what you should use. I believe it should engage your entire being. Do you understand? If you see me pray that kind of prayer, that's sometimes you see me that prayers are praying here. Sometimes, even if I'm the one ministering to you guys, I will kneel, I will lie down, because that's just me. It's the state of my heart at the time. So Jesus wanted to say, never, not my will but your will. He prayed that prayer lying facing down. Then again, don't lie down there and sleep. So I'm consecrating myself. So what are you doing down there? I'm consecrating myself to the Lord. And as I was doing that, I went into a trance. That's a lie. You slept and you dreamt. You slept so deep, I started dreaming. So maybe that was no trance. Hallelujah. So Jesus prostrated as a prayer posture. Of course, that is lifting your hands. We already saw that in Nehemiah 8 and verse 6, they lifted their hands. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8, we see lifting of hands too. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. So there's a place for lifting up holy hands. Lifting up holy hands in prayer. If you're worshiping, you can lift up your holy hands in worship. Yeah. It depicts the state of your heart at a point. Lift up your hands. That's why when a minister comes up here and we're praying, I say, let's lift up our hands in worship. That's not just a way. You know, lifting your hands is almost like showing you are surrendering to God. So it's a prayer posture. Paul said, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands. So this one is like, he said, this is what I want. He was telling Timothy. I'm following the point. So that it's a prayer posture. Probably I can out of this. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. In every place of worship, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy. Amen. Lifting up hands. Of course, there is standing. 1 Kings 8, verse 22. There is standing. That's also where standing and pacing and all of that coming. 1 Kings 8, verse 22. Amen. King James now. Welcome to NLT. He said, and Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord, the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hand toward heaven. Of course, what followed, he began to pray. So he stood. So you see, in this case, he wasn't kneeling. He stood. So there's also standing in prayer. Nothing wrong with that. There's also sitting in prayer. Yes. Nothing wrong with sitting to pray. 2 Samuel 7, verse 18. So you see what I'm trying to show you. He said, then when King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? So he sat before the Lord. So you see what I'm trying to show you? There is no, and I mentioned convenience, for instance. A woman is pregnant, 6-7 months gone, and we are doing 3 hours prayer, and she attends. You don't expect her to stand. That's why I mentioned being convenient. I get what I'm talking about. That's better to stand throughout the 3 hours. Walking. Either if she can do that, that's okay. But if she can't, and she decides to sit and is praying, there's nothing wrong with that. You see what is wrong with all these people that make it look like if you must pray, you must look somehow. Disfigure yourself. I don't want to demonstrate some things, because I've seen terrible things in the name of prayer. And that to them is spirituality. As a matter of fact, the media have told them this, and I think I have to say that openly. And that's from my pastor. If my pastor ministers to you and you follow the anointing, and maybe picture camera captures you where you are in some kind of funny, maybe you fell, your mouth is opening from crazy way, they're not going to post that picture. Go to their page, they're not going to say none of those things. Don't post it. Because you asked us one day, are we trying to insult these people or to degrade them because they follow the anointing? But some people, that's what they delight in, to show that spirit is moving in their meeting. I get the point. Why post people in some funny ways, some crazy ways? And one day, maybe in this series, I'm going to address this thing we call groaning in the spirit. This groaning thing, we think is prayer. You come to pray, celebrate there. That's not prayer. When the time comes, we're going to address it. Are you following what I'm saying? So you see, there's no prayer posture that God will say, I'm throwing you away. I've shown you the parameters to watch out for. One, it must be, what's the person I said? It must engage you. At least it should engage you. Don't pick a prayer posture that will make you absent-minded in prayer. Do you get the point? Then two, I said, it should be convenient for you. Though not too convenient for you to now start sleeping. That's why you must be engaging. But convenient at least. I just gave an example now of a pregnant woman. Someone that is pregnant and is heavy with a child. Sometimes not even pregnant. You don't even know whatever is happening. But it must be. But that pregnant man should not now, as you are praying, go to the back and lie down and say she's praying. No. So at least she can sit and engage herself. Maybe not sit too comfortably, like relax like that. Sit in a way that engages her, but then pray with us. You don't expect that person to be doing. Now, if that's your prayer, but there's nothing wrong with that. But please, let's not copy. I'm your pastor. I don't describe myself to pray. Huh? Do you know part of the reason why I pray with you guys here? If there's prayer drive, you see me, I come here, I stay with you guys. I remember I'm talking to God. I also want to be an example to you. Do you see me doing some funny things? Tumbling myself and rumpling myself as though something is wrong. That's prayer posture. Are you what I'm talking about? So it must be convenient. Then the third one I said, it should depict the state of your heart in that prayer. So in other words, if I'm praying for 6 hours, there are moments I could kneel. Depends on what's happening. There are moments I could stand. For instance, I've just mentioned prayer of faith. Under that prayer of faith, for instance, we could include things like warfare prayer. It's under prayer of faith. This is just me. If I lie down in consecration to the Lord and I want to bind the devil, no. I'm going to stand up. Now, I'm not saying if you lie down and bind the devil, it's not going to go. I'm just saying it's better you pick a posture at the peace state of your heart. Well, you know, the thing I'm going to teach you is this. You don't even have to break your head about what posture is good to take now. Once you get your entire being involved in that prayer, you will do what is right per time. I'm not joking. You don't have to bother yourself about, should I stand now? Should I kneel? Once you are really, really engaged in the prayer, when there are some prayers to start. For instance, if I'm singing worship here, there's a song they will raise. You will just kneel down. That's if you're into it. Nobody's going to tell you anything. Once you are engaged in that prayer, you are going to just respond and do what is right and pray how is right. So your prayer life must have the right content. Choose whatever posture that suits you. End point is, make sure you pray. Make sure you pray. Make sure you take your prayer life seriously. Make sure your prayer life has results. I want to say, if you follow and make sure you study your prayer life to see that all of these things I mentioned, your man of prayers are represented, you will not lack prayer points. In fact, you'll be looking for time to pray all the prayer points that you have. I get to the point. And don't drive to any extreme. There are funny prayers we've prayed sometimes, which are not bad. They can finish preaching and say, Father, use me or kill me. I've prayed that kind of prayer. There's nothing wrong with that, it's just consecration. But if that's your only prayer every day, every day come pray and say, use me or kill me. Mm-mm. That's why you see how I do. One day God will just get angry and say, oh, fine, I'm doing the second one. that can't be everything you are doing. Some people might come for maybe our prayer meetings and feel we are not. When I started, this is why I have those days. I used to do Jude 20. Those days I just used to tell them. Then I was training people to know how to pray. So I don't used to give prayer points. Somebody just be on the mic praying to us. All of us just praying to us for the whole 3 hours. That's just a training on prayer. But that can't be how your prayer life will look. Do you get what I'm talking about? There are things you're praying about. That's where, if you pray for 8 hours, and we ask you, what did you address in these 8 hours? You can tell us. I spent time in fellowship with the Holy Ghost. I addressed this need. This sinner, this sense there, this one. At least you know. And so when the answer starts coming, you can know, okay, I prayed about this, I prayed about that, I prayed. Are you know what I'm talking about here? That's a quality prayer life. So when we talk about quality prayer life, it's not just in the length. As much as length is important, it's also in the content of your prayer life. So when we say, how's your prayer life? It's not just about, imagine people, I give an example of people who always say, fall and die. That's what they do in their prayer. Every day, fall and die, fall and die. 12 to 4, midnight prayer. Tomorrow, 12 to 4. That's what a quality prayer life. Even if you think fall and die is the right prayer to pray. I get what I'm saying now. Are you following me? Yeah. I was talking to some pastors some time ago. And I told pastors, the kind of counsels I give people, if I'm not careful, you will think I'm just overdoing. I told the pastor, just by the Spirit, I say, the problem you have is you are not praying for yourself. I said, yes. So every time you come to pray, you are praying, let the church grow, let more men be saved. I said, it's okay. Oh. I said, but half time and pray for yourself. He said, but they taught us that if you pray intercession, it will fix all that things. I said, well, I don't have time to, but please make out time and pray for yourself too. You have children, for instance. Every time you are praying, church grow, this one, that one. Who is going to pray for your kids? Your kids are suffering in school, oh. They have health challenges. They are doing poorly in their studies. The devil is trying to possess their head. They are becoming more stubborn. But you're not going to pray for them. You just want to pray for intercession. You're praying for everybody. That's why you have to bring prayer home to family. But if you're only praying for your kids, then you're a very selfish person. So which one will go to? Have a quality prayer life. Address what needs to be addressed. Amen. Did you learn something? And while doing that, pray in a way that is convenient for you, that engages you, and at least depicts what your heart is saying at the time. At the time. That's why when we're in families now, I'm of the opinion that morning devotion by 5 a.m., people should not kneel down to pray. Now, you know yourself. You know the kind of escapades. So if you just pray and you kneel down, they will wake you up. When prayer is over. Now, some of you are smart enough to wake up once they say in Jesus' name, that's Jesus' name, you open your eyes. But you know you didn't pray. So is nothing wrong in kneeling down to pray? No. It's just that that prayer posture is too convenient for that moment. It did not engage you. And some of you still do that here now. You wake up for prayer watch by 6 a.m. You turn on Telegram. You lie down on your bed. Shuba, shuba, shuba. Oh God, just sleep. Sleep. You are sleeping. If you know anybody like that, don't disappoint the person. Let us act like all of us are fine. And that's why if you're doing prayer watch, sometimes you come to that, maybe if we didn't end the prayer, the call, after the 30 minutes, some people find themselves still on that call by 9 a.m. That's when they woke up actually. They say, hey. That's why every time I get up for prayer watch in the morning, I ask my wife, I'm always standing. In fact, if you hear my intensity when I'm leading you to pray, you know I'm standing. You can't have that kind of intensity sitting down. You see, hear my intensity, you know I'm standing. It's just there. I'm standing, I'm pacing. I'm pacing. Do you understand? Not because there's anything wrong with kneeling down, but you know yourself now. You know how much you've done. It's time to change. Hallelujah. Are you blessed this evening? Our prayer life should be better. On Sunday, I'm going to continue with this. Quality prayer life. I'm going to address some key things. I'm going to help you develop key things you must have if you're going to have a solid prayer life. I'm going to address that on Sunday. And we're going to be blessed. If God helps us, I know He will. With time on Sunday, we'll be able to have some time to pray after that teaching is over. Amen. Are you blessed today? Let's stand to our feet. Lift your hands. Let's bless Jesus this evening. On top of your voice, let's just bless Him. Just pray. Take 2 minutes. Shemalagarondo kola parakateyash. Zibele kakumbre tiki kumbrataya. Pray like that. Lift your voice. Iabalakoro shimaranti karoto lebasandia kosha. Please pray, 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 pray. Kaya balabaroko telebrende korata. Let your voice rise in this place. And your hands lifted to heaven. Let's practice that. Lifting up holy hands. Thank Him. Thank Him for all He has done. Thank Him for this teaching. Thank Him for the strength. I sense strong that as I'm thanking Him, much more fire is getting into your prayer life. You will be able to pray right. Thank you, Lord, for revelation. Thank you, Lord, for light. Karaboshake lombra de sakala da bayandush. Regelion krobatika ziza velata. Oh, blessed be God. Hallelujah to Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for utterance. Thank you for clarity. Thank you for answering hidden questions in our hearts. We are getting better. We are getting stronger. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Help our prayer lives. I prayed, and I'm still praying, that this series will bring proper order to our prayer lives. To everyone here, let there be proper order and much more effective results in our prayer lives. In Jesus' name, we pray. Shout that amen louder. I said, shout it louder.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless you. Be seated. Were you blessed today?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.